I'd like us to open our Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11, and we're going to be reading from verse 11 through to verse 19. Hebrews chapter number 11, we'll read from verse 11 through to verse 19. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland, and truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Shall we pray? Eternal Father, that commands light to shine out of darkness, Lord, let the light of your word be revealed unto us this morning. Illuminate your word. As we go through it, Lord, let light shine from heaven. Let there be clarity unto us. As we examine this life of faith, let faith rise up in our heart. I ask for a fresh grace and an anointing upon the ears and the hearts of your people as they hear your word today, that they are not just going to be an hearer of the word, but they will be doers. The power to do become released as the word goes forth this morning. I ask, O Lord, for a fresh anointing upon myself, that you have make my thumb to become like the pen of a ready writer. Let it inscribe the word in the heart of your people. Let it be delivered in accuracy, in simplicity, in the love and the comfort of the Spirit of the Lord. Let all of us together at the end of today feel the transformation that has taken place in our heart, in Jesus' mighty name. And the people of God say, amen. Faith lift. We started that series about 5-6 weeks ago. I believe today is the sixth week that we've been going through faith lift. And faith lift is so called because we believe that the Lord wants to do a new work of faith in our heart, and that it is an opportunity for us to engage with the Spirit of the Lord as he removes the blemishes and the wrinkles of our faith life. Just like the surgeon, the plastic surgeon, would from the faces of his client, of his patients, as he walks through their faces to make them look much better, much more beautiful. We trust the Lord that this series is going to equip us and jack us into life and empower us to be able to live by faith. Don't forget the place where we started from, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse number 4. The just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by his faith. Repeated in Romans chapter number 1, verse 17. The just shall live by faith. Repeated in Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. The just shall live by faith. And interestingly, repeated also in this passage of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter number 10, verse 38, the just shall live by faith. And we've been going through the hall of fame of the faithful, considering the lives of individuals as revealed in the book of Hebrews chapter number 11 from one week to the other. We've considered the life of the man by the name Abel. We've considered the life of the man by the name Noah. So was Enoch. And last week we talked about Abraham. Now, for the purpose of, because of the confine of time that we've got this morning, I won't want to go into the details of what was spoken about these people, but they were terrific people and terrific character that I believe so strongly that the Lord wants us to learn from them and behold and look at their faith life in order to encourage us to do the same. And all those messages are interestingly on our website. Last week we started talking about this man called Abraham. Now, I did emphasize last week that these things that we're going through, they are not just lectures. This is not an information session about what faith should look like. This is not just an opportunity to define faith. I believe that there is a spirit of, the Bible talks about the spirit of faith. There is a spirit that goes with the word of the Lord. And I believe that we are in a season as a church when the Lord wants to move us from one level of faith to another. From one level of faith to another. And that's why I believe that the Lord is bringing this message across our way. So much beyond the information, I want us to also connect with the spirit of faith that is coming upon this house or that has come upon this house in this season. That's one thing about seasons. In seasons, there is a lot of harvest of products, particular products. So when you are in the season, for instance, the season of corn, you get it in a massive amount. Now, when you are out of that season, you still have corn. It's just that it becomes much more difficult to get. Oftentimes, you get them at more expensive prices. Now, we are in the season of faith. That means there is a natural tendency, a propensity, as it were, for us to catch this train of faith and just move with it. And I believe that as a church, we are in that season. The Lord wants us to walk with him by faith and want to help our faith life. And we're in such there is a wave of faith, as it were, that is blowing through this church that you can take advantage of and go to your next level of faith walk with God. You believe that? Say amen. So that's why we're going through this. So it's not an information session. It is an awareness period for us to know exactly what the Lord is saying to the churches, what the Lord is saying to us as a church. So last week we talked about this man called Abraham, and we couldn't complete the series on Abraham because there was so much to learn from this man. I mentioned that all the other people that we have gone through, the Bible verse for them, there is just one verse that describes their faith life. Talk about Abel, just one verse. Talk about Noah, one verse. Just about Enoch, just one verse. But when you get to Abraham, there are about 12 verses from verse number 7, I believe, sorry, from verse number 8. It keeps going until when you get to verse number 19. That's 12 verses devoted to this man. Because he's supposed to be an example of faith. The Bible says he is the father of all those who believe. Okay, so there is so much to learn from him. Now, and we said that there are four instances that the Bible talks about in this particular passage of the scripture where the faith of Abraham was brought to the fore, where there is an emphasis on the faith of Abraham. Those four instances, we want to see how it was demonstrated in the life of this man called Abraham. And number one, it was when he was leaving his familiar terrain, the Ur of the Chaldees in Mesopotamia, as he advanced on his journey to Canaan. And then number two, the Bible talks about by faith he dwelt, you know, in the land of the promise. And then number three, by faith received power in order to be able to conceive a child when it was already past age. And by faith he was able to give up and release Isaac as a sacrifice unto the Lord. Those were the four instances, if you go through this passage from verse number 8 to verse number 19. And so those four seasons, I've categorized them under these subtitles. Number one, the departing that is caused by faith. I want us to take care of that baby, please. Number one, the departing that is caused by faith. Number two, the dwelling that is caused by faith. Number three, the dunamis that comes as a result of faith. And then number four, the delivering or the delivering hope. I love the latter one. The delivering hope that comes as a result of faith. So we have the departing, we have the dwelling, we have the dunamis, and we have the delivering hope. Now, last week, we were able to talk about faith as it related to the departing from the hall of the Chaldees and the dwelling in tents, in tabernacles, in Canaan. And we dealt with that extensively. It was an eye opener, and I will encourage you, if you missed that, listen to it, please, because it forms like the bedrock of what we're going to be talking about today. Today, I want us to cover the other two aspects, which is one, the dunamis caused by faith, and number two, the delivering hope that is caused by faith. Now, when you talk about dunamis, dunamis is just is a Greek word. And it means strength. It means power. Now, look at verse number 11. The Bible says, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength. That word strength is actually from the Greek word dunamis. It means power. It means the ability to do, the ability to perform. And it is not just power, the general power. It's talking about the miraculous power, the miraculous power. Now, this story brings to the fore the power that is released when we have faith in God. And that's why I want us to take some moments to go through it today, because we have had it, we have read it, we have listened. Some of us have been exposed to this story since during our childhood days. And sometimes we just lose the importance of what actually took place. The Bible says he received power. So dunamis talks about power, it talks about strength, it talks about the ability to do. But not just any kind of strength or power, it talks about the miraculous power. The out of this world power. It's just like what he said in Luke chapter number 1, verse 35. Mary having a conversation, and he said, "And you will, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power from the highest will overshadow you." Luke chapter 1, verse 35. That power is the word dunamis. Is the power that is out of this world, a different kind of power. You know, it's not just the kind of power that you use to move this puppy from one place to another. It is a miraculous power. It's an injection of power that caused things to happen. So Luke chapter 1, verse 35. The same thing is repeated, for instance, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. For you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, talking to the disciples. So that's the miraculous power that comes. That's the kind of power that was experienced here in the life of this man and his wife. Now, there is some contention about who this particular verse is talking about. But there is no contention about the attributes that brings this power about. I will get into that in a short while. There is some contention when it comes to who is this passage actually talking about. Is it talking about Sarah or is it talking about Abraham? But there is no contention about the attributes that makes the power available. Faith makes power available. So the easiest way for the devil to deal with anyone, including believers, is to remove faith life from them and make them look powerless. Faith is not just one source of God's power. Faith is the source of his power. You connect with God's power by faith. By faith. That's why the Bible says the just shall live. What drives your life, your daily living, is faith. A complete trust in his word. Taking him at his word, that's what drives your life. That's the engine, as it were, of your destiny. That's what guarantees that you will end up attaining to your destiny. And if the devil can convince you that faith is useless, then he's got you. Okay, so there is a contention, like I said, about is this place talking about Abraham or about Sarah? Now, what is clear is that The word I was speaking about Sarah here is in the context of the faith displayed by Abraham. You discover that the preceding verses have been talking about Abraham, and the latter verses also talk about the same man, Abraham. Why? Because it was Abraham that was called. It was Abraham that received the promise. It was Abraham that was given the instruction to go and sacrifice the boy. It was Abraham. So this is in the context of the faith life of Abraham. Now, that is not to take anything away from the woman called Sarah. Now, but you will discover that Hebrews, this particular passage that we're looking at, is actually talking about the things that are recorded in the book of Genesis, specifically. And that's why we're able to trace the life of those heroes of faith back to Genesis. We trace the life of Abel back to Genesis, because this passage is actually written to the Hebrews. And he was talking to them because he knew that they know, or rather that they knew the story about this people. So when he was talking about Abel, he said, by faith, Abel. He expected everyone to know the story of Abel. By faith, Noah. He expected the people to know about Noah. By faith, Enoch. He expected people to have known about Enoch. So it was in the context of their knowledge of what took place to these heroes of faith as recorded in the book of Genesis. Now, what you will find is that the faith that we're talking about in the context of Abraham is what is recorded in the book of Genesis, and we're going to get there in a short while. Not so much about faith is said about Sarah in the book of Genesis. As a matter of fact, when you look at Sarah, you will hear stories about him in the book of Genesis of a woman that forced her husband, to go and get another woman by the name Hagar. That's what you would trace to her. You would trace to her a woman who actually laughed when he was told he was going to have a child, and even denied it when she was confronted. When the Lord said you are going to have a child, the Bible says she laughed, and she laughed within herself, and she was confronted. Why were you laughing? He said, I wasn't laughing. That's what you will hear about this woman called Sarah. So you can't actually trace faith to the life of Sarah as it's recorded in the book of Genesis. Now, but take note, that is not to take anything away from this woman, because the Bible talks about him in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5, and was talking about her, rather, talking about Sarah. Talked about Sarah in the context of those who trusted God. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. The Bible was actually talking about the women, that women should actually emulate the people who trusted God. And Sarah was mentioned as an example in the context of his submission, or submissiveness, rather, to Abraham. So we're not taking anything away from this woman, because for what you care to know about, it's important that you appreciate that this woman, at some point, lived a life of faith. Now, but the application of the book of Hebrews actually talks in the context of the faith of Abraham, and I'm going to show you in a short while. So what we're talking about is the faith of Abraham as recorded in the book of Genesis. And that's why when you read, for instance, the New King James Version, it appears to you as if that passage is talking exclusively about Sarah. But when you see some other translations, you discover that it actually talks about Abraham. For instance, let me read verse number 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. So, some Bible scholars believe that this was talking about Sarah. Now, but if you see some other translations, for instance, NCV, which I'm going to ask you to put up right now, actually, you see that it talks about Abraham. Okay? He said, he was too old to have children. Who do you think he's talking about? Abraham. Okay? He was too old to have children, and Sarah could not have children. So the faith that we're going to be talking about, as put down together here, is actually the faith of Abraham. Okay? It was by faith that Abraham was made to be able to become a father, because he trusted God to do what he had promised. And that makes sense, because in verse number 12, when he will continue with what was started in verse number 11, he says, therefore, from one man, who was he referring to? Abraham. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead. So he started in verse number 8 with Abraham, 9 talks about Abraham, 10 talks about Abraham, 11 actually talks about Abraham, because in the original Hebrew, translation, that place that you find that it says receive strength to conceive actually literally mean to receive power to lay down seed, which is supposed to be a masculine function. The power to lay down seed, okay? And it's not going to be, so this passage is actually talking about the faith of Abraham, or if you like, it's talking about the frame of the faith that was demonstrated by Abraham as regarding the delivery or the conception of this child. Like I said, this is not to take anything away from that woman called Sarah, because it takes a great woman to live with a great man like Abraham and go along with him. There are instances, there are other instances in the Bible where Abraham and Sarah are actually mentioned, but the object or the subject of the matter is actually Abraham. Isaiah chapter 51, verse 1. If you want to put that up, that would be great. Isaiah chapter 51 says, look unto the rock from which you were hewn, and from the hole of the pit from which you are dug. Look unto Abraham, verse 2, your father, and unto Sarah who begat you. For I called him alone, and I blessed him, and I multiply him. Now go to verse number 1. Said, listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Talking about us. Look from where you came from. Verse number 2. It says, look to Abraham, your father. And we remember that the Bible calls us, as people that are of faith, the children of Abraham. Look unto Abraham, your father, and look at this. And to Sarah, who bore you. Now, I see the next one. It says, for I called what? Him alone. Not I called them alone. Even though Sarah's name came in the context of this passage, it was in the context of the calling of Abraham. Okay, so look at, it said, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. So that's why it is important that we understand that Hebrews chapter number 11, verse 11, is talking about the laying down of seed, which is a masculine function, like I said, and it is a function of faith. Now, without going into biblical exegesis, what is so clear in that passage is that there is a power attached to faith. So aside from who is it talking about, the subject person, we know that faith has got power. Faith releases God's power. It makes God's power available. And that is why it is so important that as a believer you live a life of faith. Because that's the only thing that guarantees that you're going to drive to destiny in God. If the devil succeeds to point your attention to living the life like any other person based on senses, then he has captured your soul. If he's able to convince you that you only need to live your life based on what you can see, what you can hear, what you can feel, what is around you, he has succeeded in capturing your soul. And that's what he's doing to many people in our age and time, unfortunately. Faith releases power. It produces the dynamis of God. It makes your engine to drive the car, as it were, to the destination. Now, there's a very important word that came that you will find in this particular place that we have talked about, and I just want us to dwell on that for a minute or so. In verse number 12, look at what it says. Or rather, verse number 11. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age. Why? Now, remember the story of these people. At this time, Abraham was 100. Sarah was 90. I know people lived very long that time because, for instance, Abraham died at age 175 and Sarah died at age 125 or thereabout. But they were past their reproductive age. And a 100-year-old man coming in contact with a 90-year-old man, there was no hope to conceive. Okay? But verse number 11 says this. It says, because she judged him faithful who had promised. That's the little word that I want to pick out from, and let's just talk about that for a moment. Because she judged. What does that mean, to judge? That word judge, in that particular place where it's found, literally means to come to a conclusion after making due consideration. Is to come to a conclusion after careful consideration. So you first consider, and then you have come to a conclusion. It means to form an opinion about something after you have carefully considered it. Now, it's just like you appear in the law court, and the judge says, I'm going to make my judgment now. This is the judgment. After carefully considering the evidence before me, I now say so, so, and so. So the conclusion is a product, and I want you to follow me, please, because this is very critical. The conclusion is a product of a careful consideration. Now, in verse number 11, the Bible says, because she judged him faithful. So let's replace that with what I've just said. It means that she concluded, after careful consideration, that God was faithful who had promised. She considered and concluded that God was faithful who has promised. Now, that is so important, and you will not appreciate what that means to those people until you go to the book of Romans chapter number 4, which I'm going to ask you to turn to right now. Romans chapter number 4. If you're in church, say amen. All right, Romans chapter number 4, and I'm going to read from verse number 17. This is so powerful. This is so powerful. As I was preparing for this, something jumped up in my spirit. I said, the people of God in our church needs to know this. This is so critical. This is so important. Verse number 17 says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God. Who gives life to the dead? Who is he referring to? God. And calls those things which do not exist as though they did. That's the way God operates. He calls things that do not exist as though they did. And that is the platform that when he says, I want to walk with you, I'm calling you to a platform of faith. This is what he wants you to start doing. Calling the things that do not exist as though they did. That's a different life, people of God. That's another life completely. Calling the things which do not exist as though they did. So when he came and he wanted to create the world, as it were, it was chaotic. And the Bible says, and God said, let there be light. He called those things which did not as though they did. Okay. Now, verse number 18 says, who contrary to hope, this is not talking about Abraham, who contrary to hope, in hope, glory to God, in hope believed so that he became the father of many nations. According to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Verse 19, very important. Now pay attention to this verse 19 because it's going to change the complexion of the game. Now, and not being weak in faith. Now, we have already talked about the fact that faith produces power. It releases dynamis that gets things done. Not being weak in faith, he did not what? Consider. Now, that is what the devil will get you to do. If he gets you to consider the wrong thing, you're finished. He did not consider. Know where we're starting from in Hebrews chapter number 11. The Bible says he judged him faithful. The word judge means to carefully consider and then conclude. All right. So you carefully consider and then you make a conclusion. Now, what do you consider is very important to the release of the power of faith. Because if you consider the wrong thing, you are in trouble. Okay, now the Bible says in this place, and if not weakened in faith, he did not consider his own body, all right, already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not consider him. Now, not considering something does not mean that you deny that they exist. It's just that you choose not to focus on them being there. Okay, now, Abraham was not going to say, no, I'm just 20. No, he was 100. He was past the reproductive age. But the Bible says he did not consider it. Now, this is where faith comes, and exactly the same point where fear comes. If fear, the devil gets you to consider the wrong thing, the product of it is fear and failure. And that is why you must make, this is a concerted personal effort to make sure that you focus on the thing that produces faith. So, he did not consider his own body. He did not consider Sarah's womb, which was as good as dead. It was a choice. It was a choice to focus on what, you know, it is important that when we come to a point in life where we want to decide where we go from here, that we make sure that we make consideration of the right thing. You don't consider your status. If you want to get to destiny, you don't consider your limitation because you're going to mess up the plan and the program. You have to make a consideration of the things that attaches your destiny to the promise. Okay? He did not consider it. He will wake up in the morning and his body was not as strong as it used to be. He was dead, reproductively. Dead. Gone. Completely. And that was why Sarah laughed. That this guy, you're just making a mockery of yourself. It's past time. It's too late. 90-year-old. Conceive a baby. Because the wall of the epithelium of the uterus is already completely gone. Completely, it's already collapsed. Okay? There is no way a seed will find a space in there. There is no nutrition that will sustain that baby. It was gone. But the Bible says, and of course, at that time, the seed of the man was already as fast as good as gone. Okay? But the Bible says, Abraham did not consider. He did not consider. The same way in your situation, people of God, the devil may be bringing things for you to consider. If you allow him to make you to consider the wrong thing, you are caged. Okay? If you allow him to make you consider that you don't have this or you don't have that or you are powerless, look at you, you don't even have what it takes. If you allow him to make you to consider that, you are caged. Now, because if you consider, that's what will make you to conclude. You draw a conclusion after careful consideration. There is no problem acknowledging the fact of your weakness, of your limitation, but don't consider it. Consider means to focus on it and keep ruminating on it. No. Faith comes when you consider both the promise and the promise maker, never the problem. Okay? There is supposed to be your focus on the promise maker because he judged him faithful who had promised. Now, I will share something briefly with you and I will move to the next thing. But I need you to see this. It's so critical. It's so important. So what happens first is that you consider, and then you come to a conclusion, and then that gets you to somewhere else. Now, look at verse number 20. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith. That's the dunamis of God, released through faith. Why? Because he was considering the right thing. Giving glory to God and being fully convinced. If you get to this platform, you get the promise. And being fully convinced, another translation will say, fully persuaded. I'm fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. So it goes in this way. It's consider. That's where you start from. Then you conclude. And then you become convinced. You get that? Consider, conclude, convinced. That's why our faith works. And may I also tell you that's how fear works. You first consider it, and you make a conclusion, and your conclusion will make you to be fully convinced of what will happen, positive or negative. When it's positive, it drives faith to action. When it's negative, it drives fear into you. Now, look at Matthew chapter number 14, and I will just wrap this part off, and then we'll go to the next thing. Matthew chapter number 14. It's important that we get this. Matthew chapter number 14. If you're there, say amen. All right. Now, verse number 22. I will just breeze through this and then we'll focus on a particular part of it. Now, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. Verse 24. Now, so Jesus had just finished a feeding of the people, the 5,000, and then he sent his disciples to go to the other side. He waited to pray. Now, look at what happened. Verse number 24. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the wave, for the wind was contrary. Now, keep note of that because we're going to come back there. Okay? So when they got into the boat, they were going and there was the tossing of the waves, for the wind was contrary. The wind was contrary. In other words, the wind was not in agreement to the direction where they were going. Keep that. Okay. Now, let's keep a few verses. Now let's come to verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord. So Jesus appeared in the middle of the night. They were so afraid, so confused. And their fear and their confusion was not just about the tossing of the waves. It was also about the person that they regarded as the ghost because they didn't know what was going to happen. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. If it's you, Lord, ask me to come. And he said, come. You know, when I study Jesus' life, I just keep loving him every day. The authority and the audacity to command things is just out of this world. And that's the way the Lord wants us to live. To be fully convinced and be able to take charge of things around our lives. The Bible says, and Jesus said, come. Now, and when that word proceeded forth, power was released, as it were. The power that would sustain Peter on the water was released. I mean, I tell you, the power that would sustain all of the people in the boat was released if they would just venture to come in out of the boat. Okay, but none of them did. Now, when Peter had come out of the boat, now look at this. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. That's beautiful, you know. You can imagine him walking on the water and saying, guys, you're still there in the boat. This is good. This is cool. You know, he was walking on the water. Now, verse 30. Now, this is it. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous. Now, let me ask you this question. When did the wind start? Just now? No. The wind had always been there. Okay? The wind had always been there. So when Jesus said, come, the wind was there. When Peter stepped out of the water and started walking, the wind was there. Now, but something happened in verse number 30. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. Now, this was the point in time that he considered the wind. He never did before now. It was present. It was doing his. I mean, they were tossed to and fro everywhere. It has always been. But for the first time in Peter's new journey of faith, he considered the wind. And when you consider the wind, you have to make a conclusion. And the conclusion of Peter was, this is boisterous. Okay? Chaotic. This is boisterous. And immediately, he became convinced that he was going to drown. So you see that? Consider the wind. Conclude that it was boisterous. Then he made it, I'm going to drown. And immediately, what happened? The Bible says he became afraid. Fear set in. Faith carpet was removed, as it were. Because that's not the way the faith of God considers the things said of God about the situation. Okay? And then he began to sink. And then, and Jesus held up his hand and said, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Now, many of us think that we actually start sinking at the time we start doubting. But the process had started before now. The process started when you first considered what you're not supposed to consider. That's when it started. Considered. Make a conclusion. And then you become convinced. Like some of us are considering our status, our job status. And then we just look at our qualification and say, my guy, you can't get a job in this tough market. And then you have considered that, and then you make a conclusion. It is not possible. And then you become convinced, even when people are trying to change your position and your state on that. And then fear sets in. And of course, you keep sinking. You keep sinking. People of God, it is time to begin to consider the right thing. When you consider the right thing, you make a right conclusion. And then you come to a point where you are fully convinced, completely persuaded, and the carpet of faith is put under you, and you glide, and you soar like the eagle. That's your position. That's your destiny in God. Are you getting what I'm talking about? Now, so let's go to the last thing because of our time. And we'll talk about the delivering hope. I love this. And I'll tell you why in a short moment. Hebrews chapter number 11. And we just go straight to verse number 17. Holy Spirit. By faith, verse 17, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Verse 19, you see that word again? What? Concluding. You see that word again? Concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Now, this is what happened. And I love that this is actually reserved to the last. So we've talked about the departing, we've talked about the dwelling, we've talked about the dunamis, and now we're talking about the delivering up, the handing up that comes as a result of faith. Now, the highest demonstration of faith rests in the practice of being able to hand over things into God's hands and still be at rest. The highest demonstration of faith in God is the ability to be able to hand things over into his hands and still not lose your sleep. If you get to that point, heaven is happy. Why? Because that's the platform. That's like the ultimate. Now, this is indeed the hallmark of faith, the ability to deliver what is important to you into his hands without losing your sleep. Now, when Abraham was going to deliver Isaac, if you read that story very well, there was no modicum of fear in him. There was no panic at all in him. He had reached a place in God, and this is a place of faith, where he could comfortably deliver what is important to him into the hands of the Lord and not panic what will happen. He was so sure that nothing will happen that would diminish his status as the father of all nations. Now, look at this. When faith is released in your life, it brings you to a place of rest. It brings you to a place of rest. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, those whose mind stays on thee, because he trusts in you. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Faith in God produces rest around you. If there is still panic, it's because you have not entered into this chamber of God. And people of God, you and I need to come there, because this is where faith becomes beautiful. Now, this idea of, I'm just trying to believe God, you know. I'm trying to believe God. I'm just believing God. And you are shouting. And no, that's not faith. It's actually a demonstration of your fear. You're just trying to cover it up with some words of faith. When you are dwelling in faith in God, there is no gymnastic. You're just at peace. You're just at rest. Concluding. Now, look at the story, and I'm going to close with this, because it's so important that you read this story. Some of us get so used to it, you don't want to read it. I will force you to read it today, okay? Genesis chapter number 22, and I'm going to close with this. Genesis chapter number 22. Amen. Verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham! And he said, Here I am. And he said, Take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. You know why God had to actually define what he was talking about? Because at this time, this man had Ishmael. And God was very specific, point blank, where God wanted him to, the thing that God wanted from him. Your son. No, not just any son. Your only son. The one you love, Isaac. That's the one I want you to take. Okay? Now, because, you know, many of us, we know exactly what God wants from us. We are so clear about it. But what we do is, God, that one is, what about this one? You know, what about this one? We know exactly what God wants from us in terms of commitment, in terms of dedication, in terms of time, in terms of money. We know. It's so clear to us. But we have an idea of, we are so good at negotiating. And God is not in for any of those. He knows exactly what he wants, and he talks about it, and he gives you an idea. That's exactly what I want. It's either you do it or you forget about this. This partial obedience is just a mockery of the Christianity that we follow. It's just a mockery of faith. It's either you are in or you are out. Okay, and it says, so the Bible says, and you go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Abraham, you take the first initiative, and then I'm going to tell you the next thing. Okay? I'm not even going to tell you where you're going to sacrifice this boy. This is tremendous faith. Now, look at verse number 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning. This man was at peace. This man was not struggling. He was at peace. And saddled his donkey and took the two of his young men and him and Isaac and his son and he split the split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. So you imagine, he was leaving the house. He didn't know where he was going. And after he had left the house, the Lord showed him where he was going to go and sacrifice the boy. Now, don't forget, this was the boy that was going to be, out of him, he's going to be the nations of the world. Okay? All these years, they've been calling him Abraham. Abraham means father of many nations. You can imagine, the wife will come, father of many nations, and then Abraham will respond. And now, the exact thing that was going to be linked to him becoming the father of many nations has been asked from him by God to go and be sacrificed. That's difficult. But this man was not struggling because he has entered into that platform and the chamber of faith that gives you peace and rest. Now, look at verse number 5. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. We will come back to you. He wasn't telling them a lie. He was just too sure that this boy were coming back here together. He had no clue, no idea of how it was going to happen. But he figured out, as we see in Hebrews chapter number 11, that even if I kill this boy, because God cannot lie, he will do something that this boy will follow me back to see these guys. He was just too confident, just too sure. Just too sure. And then verse number 6 said, and took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on the... Now, when he thought... glory to God. Now, when he thought that he was going to actually receive Isaac back from the dead, there is no record that anyone in history had ever been raised back from the dead. No record. So he was believing God for something that had never happened. What you call audacious faith in God. He just knew that God cannot just lie. Now, okay, verse number 6 says, so Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac. You can imagine, the teenager was even the one that was carrying the material that was going to be used to roast him. Now, his son. And he took the fire in his hands and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac was familiar with Abraham giving offering in the previous time. So in verse number 8, he says, verse 7, but Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Because he had always known that when they would go and sacrifice, there is always all of these things and a lamb. But this time, he didn't know that he was actually the lamb, you know. And it was good Abraham did not tell him. Because can you imagine a 100-year-old man chasing a teenager? You know, you can't meet up. And verse 8 says, and Abraham said, my son, God, I love this. People of God, this is where God wants to get you to. God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Says, I'm just obeying his command. There is a collision between the promise and the command, but I'm committed to obeying the command. He will sort it out when we get there. Okay. And then verse 9 says, then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac. You can imagine when he started binding Isaac. He said, Daddy, what are you doing? I'm just binding you. You are the lamp. You know, it was already too late, okay? and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand. And now, Abraham was already walking with God. He knew it was wrong for anyone to offer human sacrifices, because that was what made God different to all the other gods. He knew that this was going to be murder. He knew it was going to be against the covenant to offer a human being to, but he had God. He was so clear that he had God. Now, and Abraham, verse number 10, stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham. And when he would not stop, he called him, Abraham, don't do that. That's why he called him twice, I believe. Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hands on the lad and do not do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God. And since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me, I don't have time. I will have shown you the connection between the provision of this boy and the sending of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horn. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide." Verse number 16. Look at what it says. Verse 15. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven. He sworn by himself. "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son. Blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will..." And then he started pronouncing those things. Why? Because at this point, Abraham delivered up into God's hands the thing that is most important to him. People of God, what is the most important thing to you? Can I tell you, that is what God is asking to hand over to him. Somebody said, "But God has not said that." That's the message this morning. Until you get to a point where you will still be at peace after delivering what is important to you into his hands, you have not entered into the rest of faith. The things that are important to you: family, job, marriage, relationship, money, materials. Until you come to a point where you have settled in your heart that if the Lord will ask me to put this down and walk away, I won't think twice. Then you have not come to this platform of the rest of faith. And that's the challenge, people of God. Why? Because the call was not just to Abraham. The Bible calls us the children of Abraham. That's the same call for us, people of God. So you go from the living from the hall of the Chaldees departing from the hall of the Chaldees to the dwelling in the land of Canaan. You come to the release of the dunamis of God because you consider the right thing, make the right conclusion, and experience the result. And you come to this point of faith where you deliver the things that are important into your hands. What is it that you hold and cling to as if your life depends on it? Can I tell you, your life does not depend on anything. The one that sustains your life and your destiny is God. And you will still exist. In fact, many of us will live better than we are currently if we will just release it. And to release it is not just physical. It has to come from the heart. Don't forget, this guy, Abraham, actually did not slaughter that boy. But in his heart, Isaac was already slaughtered. In his heart. That's why the Bible says he received him as in a figure. I want to challenge you, people of God. This is what faith entails: delivering what is important to you into the hand of him and still be at peace. Shall we pray?